useless horse. Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Well, if you're not going to have a fire suppression system in your house, make sure you're not growing pot. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
What seemed like a small fire turned into a major bust after police said you could practically get high just smelling the pot down the street from the fire. It broke out in Alberto Martinez's basement apartment on Chatterton Avenue in Castle Hill. Police say the 65-year-old super had turned the entire basement into a pot factory. They removed dozens of garbage bags worth. Martinez has been charged with possession and intent to distribute. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
A California police department being very surprisingly close-lipped about a shooting that has left a young child dead. Jason Campidonia has the story.
Law enforcement officials in Pomona remain tight-lipped about the investigation, only saying a 35-year-old man was arrested over the weekend. Police say he's responsible for shooting a home, killing an 8-year-old boy who was sitting down for dinner with his family. The home has been the target of shootings in the past, but police say the family doesn't have any gang ties. A news conference is scheduled for later today to discuss the details. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
The road to Glendale, Arizona, and the Final Four College Basketball Championship complete. Powerhouse six-time national champ and 2016 runner-up North Carolina plays Oregon, which is in its first Final Four since 1938. The other semifinal matches two teams that have never been to the Final Four, South Carolina and Gonzaga. USA Radio News.
Weather this afternoon, a slight chance of showers before 3 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 58, southwest wind around 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Tonight, a chance of showers mainly after 1 a.m. Patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Light and variable wind. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 2 p.m. Patchy fog, otherwise cloudy with a high near 62. Calm wind. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tuesday night, showers likely, mainly before 2 a.m. The rain can be heavy at times, patchy fog before 2 a.m. Otherwise cloudy with a low around 45. Calm wind becoming northeast 5 to 9 miles per hour in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half an inch possible. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 60, north wind 10 to 13 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 33.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the Union, and overseas. Here in Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. We try to help people who have either someone in their family or someone they know who has a mental illness. And we do it in various ways. We teach classes, a 12-week course called Family to Family, where family members or people who know someone with a mental illness can come and learn what it's like to have that mental illness. We cover medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. We also have a support group that we run monthly on the third Thursday of every month. and that's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And you don't have to be a member of NAMI or anything like that to come to the support group. Everybody's welcome. There's no registration for it or anything. Everything we do is free of charge. We have no cost for anything. All materials and everything we supply are free. And if you need to get a hold of us or you'd like some, you have a question, you want some answers or whatever, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. Today, we're very privileged to have with us today Earl Peterson, and he is a registered advisor. I'm going to ask him what that means, at Allied Wealth Partners in the Special Needs Division. Earl, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you.
Larry and Tracy, thank you for having me.
I have to ask, what's a registered advisor?
Well, a registered advisor is a licensed advisor through FINRA, the Financial Industries Regulatory Agencies, and I'm registered to work with clients in many different ways, manage their assets, provide products and services to them, as well as advice in managing many areas of their lives.
Okay, would you explain exactly what is Allied Wealth Special Needs Division?
Well, first of all, Larry and Tracy, let me tell you a little bit about Allied Wealth Partners. Allied Wealth Partners is a 50-year-old financial services firm. We're headquartered in the city of Parsippany, and we are one of the oldest and one of the largest independently owned and operated firms in the state of New Jersey. A couple of years ago, we formed a special needs division, which was created and focuses purely on the estate planning and financial planning for families with special needs children and families with health and medical needs.
Is there an age? Can it be elderly people?
It can be elderly people because special needs and mental illness falls upon many different ages. Some special needs children are born with their disabilities. Others are thrust upon them during their lives, such as a stroke, mental illness, or other illness.
And what, I guess, what defines special needs? Somebody that can carry on with their life, but not do it in the way that, I don't want to say accepted, but there's a challenge to them doing things?
Well, that's a great question. And special needs has a hugely broad spectrum and classification. As we know, those young children who are born with either physical or mental disabilities, and it can range all the way up to stroke patients who have a stroke in their 70s or 80s and are left incapacitated, and everything in between. Now, I focus my practice more for the child with special needs, working with those parents so that they can focus on the planning aspects. And sometimes that those planning aspects can be a lifetime of financial need long after those parents are gone. Many of these special needs children receive government benefits, so it's important to structure their financial planning around those benefits so that those benefits and the eligibility of those benefits are not put to risk later in life.
Okay. What are some of the concerns that people should consider?
Well, another great question.
I have more great questions.
Yeah.
Only kidding.
Some of the concerns. Parents, when they are planning, have to look at many different areas of the financial planning picture. Number one, these parents will probably want to retire at some point. So retirement is an important part of their planning process, but not necessarily drilling down directly towards their child with special needs or mental health issues. Many of these families also have typical children without mental health issues or special needs. So focusing on those children is also a priority. But then comes the unforeseen, that child with mental health issues or special needs that could require a lifetime of financial need long after those parents are gone. So that's the plate that I help parents spin that is really outside of the realm of most typical financial planners.
I know that a lot of times, I know when my son developed schizophrenia, we didn't know, you know, anything about mental health issues. And never, you know, parents don't really give it a thought. And we were like, you know, we didn't know what to do, you know. And then when he was hospitalized for almost 3 years, we started learning what to do, you know, and who to go to and where to go and how to get some help and yada, yada. But it took a crisis to get us to that point. Because, you know, like I said, parents, when you have a child, you have a baby, you're not looking at, oh, well, we have to worry about, you know, they have this or this wrong or this wrong. You know, you're thinking, oh, well, he's going to grow up or she's going to grow up. We've got to go to college. They'll be a lawyer, a doctor, you know, whatever. And not think about what lies ahead, because it could have a dramatic effect on their lives. So when someone has a special needs person, whether it be autistic or mentally challenged or disability of some sort, physical or whatever, what do they do when they have this person in their family? You know, what should they do, first of all? Where do they find out more about it? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, Larry, your story is so typical. People go through life, and they have a wonderful family, and then all of a sudden, they have an issue with a mental illness with one of their teenage or adult children. Young families are going through life, raising children, and all of a sudden, a second or third or fourth child is born with a mental illness, physical or a mental disability. Well, that is what all families are thrust upon all of a sudden, and they are just thrown right into the fire. And one of the first things those families need to do is really go out and seek information and education. And there are so many great organizations, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, one of the many, many great organizations that informs and educates families on specific mental illnesses or disabilities. And to go and get that information and start to learn about their child's disability so that they can really be the number one advocate for their child. Hey, agencies, the government, they all advocate for our children, but we as parents always need to be the number one advocate for our child with mental illness or disabilities.
What would you explain what a special needs team is?
Well, one of the things that I recommend special needs families do is to form a team of professionals that will help them achieve all of their family and financial goals. A special needs team should consist of a legal professional, all of the professionals at their school or organization, whether that be a social worker, their case manager, always family members should be a part of that special needs team for a special needs or a mentally challenged child or adult. And then absolutely a financial professional added to that. And we say that that team should be formed like a board of managers or a board of directors. Every company across the country has a board of directors, and so should your child with mental illness or a special needs, a disability. Now, that is whether your child is 3 years old or 43 years old. The parents or the guardians can form that special needs team.
I got to ask, girl, it's a little off the thing, but how did you get involved in all this?
Well,
you know, I just sat at the top of my head.
How did I get involved with financial planning, and specifically financial planning for special needs families? Well, I had a 30-year career on Wall Street as a specialist trader trading agricultural commodities. Then with the advent of electronic trading, I got phased out of a very successful career. And I transitioned from the trading floor, where most of my clients were all institutional clients, into the wealth management field, where my clients were all families, small business owners, individuals, professionals. And about a year into my tenure with Allied Wealth Partners, the owner of our firm, John Langdon, who is actually the son of the founder, said, well, you know what, Earl, every professional in this field who reaches the top of their profession always has a niche area to their business. And John Langdon said, Earl, you know what? You're always talking about your son, Ben. You're always talking about his life and how it's impacted your life and your family's life. And so I started pursuing the financial services and financial planning and wealth management strictly for families who have special needs children. Now, I just mentioned that my youngest of four children is a young man, Ben Peterson, age 26, who is developmentally disabled. So Ben now at age 26 is about a 12-year-old educable level. And Ben is a great kid. My wife, Kathy, and I hope that he lives with us forever. But I started building my practice focused on helping those families with a special needs child or a child with mental health issues. And you know what? Our managing partner, John Langdon, said that that was a huge underserved area and an area that needed so much help and guidance. And I have found that to be the case. And now, Tracy and Larry, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm impacting and I'm helping families every single week, and I'm making a difference with these families. So it's proved to be a great niche business within my field.
Awesome. And there is such a need, because people, as they get older, really start worrying, who is going to take care of my child? What's going to happen when I'm not here? And what kinds of things do you do to help them know that their children will be taken care of financially and so forth?
Well, thank you, Tracy, for asking that question. Primarily, I focus on the financial side, although I speak regularly at special needs schools, to parent groups, PTAs, SPAGs, about the importance of financial planning for special needs families. But I also talk a lot about guardianship. Is your incapacitated child going to be able to make decisions when they reach the age of majority at age 18, Or will they, like my son Ben, never be able to make a financial or a medical decision for themselves? And if the answer to that question is no, my child will not be able to make those decisions, I talk to families about guardianship. Now, guardianship can take many different avenues, whether it's 100% guardianship or only partial guardianship. And myself and my firm, we are not attorneys, so we do not draft the guardianship documents. But I work with many guardianship attorneys who can take care of that for families. And when I talk about guardianship services, Larry, I always bring a guardianship attorney with me, because a lot of the questions that these families have are pretty complicated legal questions, and they want quality answers. I often speak about the use of special needs trusts and the newly enacted ABLE Act. Special needs trust can act as an important part to the financial plan, but again, I'm not an attorney, so I do not draft special needs trusts. I work with a team of professionals, attorneys, who I recommend that out to. Many times, a family may not be receiving the services from their local school district that they feel that they should get. And so many times, families will need to advocate against their school district to get the special needs services that their child deserves. And again, then I have a team of advocacy attorneys who can act on behalf of the families, working in conjunction with the school system to get those children the benefits that they deserve, the education that they deserve. And finally, transitioning children from the entitlement system, the school system, into after-school life is a huge part of what I do, helping those families find the correct program, school, maybe college, day program, vocational program for their special needs or mentally challenged child.
What do you find as some of the pitfalls people make when they're doing things for their loved ones? I mean, you know, they're not all, oh, well, gee, I'll get a hold of Allied Wealth and, you know, do this, this, and this. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what to do. So, therefore, they'll just sometimes do it on their own and they make mistakes. What are some of those pitfalls that you find that people make?
And there are a lot of mistakes that are made, and that's why utilizing legal, financial, and advocacy professionals is so important. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is that individuals as a whole are living much longer. Our special needs children.
Thank God I'm living longer. I don't like the alternative. You know?
Our special needs children are going to live longer, and in most cases, far outlive their parents. So not only are the parents and the guardians need to be financially prepared for themselves, but they need to prepare financially for their special needs child long after they're gone. And families need to provide resources for that lifetime of care. One of the biggest challenges, Tracy and Larry, that I find with young families when they have a young child born with special needs, the denial is a huge aspect. And parents many times, and many times their child can outgrow some of these disabilities, but in many cases they can't. So educating the parents is a huge part of my job. But when we talk about the financial mistakes that people often make, oftentimes families will allocate monies from the inheritance from an elderly grandparent or parent to be put in the child's name, and that can put either their SSI, their Social Security income, put at risk, or their Medicaid medical benefits can be put at risk if the child has above the threshold of assets in their name. And that's where a special needs trust or an ABLE account can really be a useful tool for these families.
If I'm not mistaken, it's somewhere around $2,000. They can't have more than $2,000 in their name to, you know, otherwise they lose some of their benefits for, you know, SSI or Medicare or whatever.
Exactly, right on the button. $2,000 is the financial threshold. And, you know, oftentimes these mistakes by unknowing parents can be legally challenged and legally changed, but it takes time in court, it takes money in court, but in many cases these mistakes can be reversed. But when parents are educated from the beginning, they're making the right decisions from the beginning. Now, Larry, I mentioned the ABLE accounts. In December of 2014, then President Obama signed into law the ABLE Act. The ABLE Act allows parents of disabled children to set aside monies in a tax-advantaged way, the same way parents can set aside monies in a 529 college savings plan for their children, and those monies can grow tax-free. And the special needs community has been fighting for this law for many years. And then in January and February of 2015, the House of Representatives and our U.S. Senate also passed that into law. Now, currently, a couple of years later, there are about a half a dozen states that have opened ABLE accounts. The federal government had passed along to the state governments the opportunity to create state regulations and open these state savings accounts in each individual state. Many other states will be following suit and opening these ABLE accounts in years to come. The state of New Jersey is projecting the first quarter of 2018 to open an ABLE account. And again, that enables families of special needs children to set aside money in a tax-advantaged way without jeopardizing the child's SSI or Medicaid benefits. Right. And one thing I say about your Medicaid benefits, that is an unfathomable benefit to families and a special needs child. Who can calculate the cost of medical benefits from age 26 to age, say, 76, 50 years of medical benefits? So I always caution parents never to put those Medicaid benefits, and that's not to be confused with Medicare. Medicare for 65 and older, Medicaid for the disabled and the impoverished.
Right. If you don't have a will or a trust and something happens, can your child in certain circumstances become a ward of the court?
Well, that's a great question. And let's first address assets and then let's address the child. Naturally, if one spouse dies, based on our laws, all assets will go to the surviving spouse. If both spouses passed without a will, eventually all assets would go to the surviving children, whether they be typical children or disabled children. The funds and the assets are just held up in long periods of time in probate. But more importantly, Larry, is your point about the guardianship of a child. And every family with a special needs child or a child with mental illness should prepare in their will legal guardianship so that a minor child would have a sibling, an aunt, uncle, grandparent, relative, neighbor, or close friend as the legal guardian for that child. And then once a child reaches the age of majority, age 18, between that 17th and 18th birthday, families or legal guardians need to make a decision on whether full or partial guardianship is best for that child.
Okay. Tracy, you have anything?
No, not at the moment. Go ahead. Okay. I usually do, but
I didn't want to create the,
I understand.
How do you create a strategy that's going to last a lifetime? You know, most of us can't create a strategy for the week, let alone a lifetime, At least at my age, I can't anyway.
And I have a saying that I absolutely love. It's that people don't plan to fail. It's just that they fail right on, right on. And really, the earlier people start in their financial planning process, hey, whether they have a special needs or a child with a mental illness or not, the earlier these families start to plan, the better. And so let's take a step back and talk a little bit about comprehensive financial planning. And the comprehensive financial planning process really starts at this. Whether my client is a family with special needs, a typical family, high net worth individual, small business owner, medical practice, legal firm, I go in on day one and try and establish a present financial position. And I do that by accumulating and then analyzing all financial documents. Included in that is wills and trusts, bank statements, brokerage statements, retirement statements, mortgage statements, the debt that families have accumulated, whether a young family and it's student debt or it's credit card debt or other types of debt. And so then once I have all of this information, I plug that into our software package and I can come up with a present financial position. And then Tracy and Larry, through a discovery process of basically questions and answers, I drill down deep with that family and I try and find out what their family and financial dreams, objectives, and goals are. And then once I find out where they want to go in life, I find out where that family wants to go over the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and I have an accurate present financial position, my job is to establish a strategy based on their income, based on their expenses, based on their cash flow, My job is to establish a strategy to get them from point A, where they are today, to point B, where they want to end up at age 65 in retirement, at age 75 post-retirement, 95. And whether those dreams and goals and financial objectives are a starter home, a bump-up home, educating typical children, lifestyle needs. Maybe a family likes to go to Disney every Christmas, or maybe they have philanthropic goals of contributing to their favorite charity, their church or synagogue. I help that family through a strategy achieve all of their financial goals and objectives. And then the most important part to a financial strategy is the semi-annual and annual reviews, because with every life change, an elderly grandparent passes away, leaves a large inheritance, the plan needs to be tweaked. A new baby is born, the plan needs to be tweaked. The new baby is a special needs child, and maybe a lifetime of financial needs for this child is going to need to be planned for. With every life change, the plan needs to be tweaked. So putting together a strategy is great, but really the tweaking of that strategy, every semi-annual and annual review, is really the key to my success and that family, small business owners, high net worth individual. That is the key to the success in the work that I do.
What could you explain what a special needs trust is actually?
Certainly. And as your audience knows, that I am not a legal professional. Not a lawyer.
But you deal with it, so you know you know what they are, and you know.
Absolutely. A special needs trust can fall into one or two categories. The first category a special needs trust falls into is a first party special needs trust. Now, a first party special needs trust means that the assets were left directly to the child. And the first party special needs trust has an element built into it that once that child, the beneficiary of the trust, passes, the monies that are left in that trust, Medicaid has a clawback provision where they can come after the balance of those monies in a first party special needs trust. So that is one of the mistakes that families make. They have an elderly grandparent pass away and the monies go directly to the child. Or if we're talking about a teenage or adult child, or maybe an adult who has a special needs situation, maybe through a stroke or a physical disability, where there is a lawsuit that will be funding this trust, those monies all end up in a first party trust. When you're dealing with a child and you're talking about funding a trust for the later years of that child's life, we're talking primarily about a special needs third party trust. And those third party trusts are not the assets of the child, but they are assets of the trust. So once that beneficiary, once that adult child passes, maybe at age 55, there is a beneficiary to the monies that remain in that trust, and those may be siblings who have supported or been the guardianship or the trustee of that child. Maybe it's a philanthropic organization such as NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or some other beneficiary. So those are the two types of special needs trust, third and first party special needs trusts. Now, Many special needs trusts are funded during the lifetime of that child, but many third-party special needs trusts are left pretty much unfunded until the passing of the second parent, and then the beneficiary of those life insurance policies will fund the special needs trust, which will really are intended to fund the balance of that adult child's life.
So I'm going to jump in here with a hypothetical. It's a little specific, but if a grandparent passes away and has already written the special needs child into as a beneficiary, at what point can you establish a special needs third-party trust? Does that need to be done ahead of time, or can that be done after?
Well, again, educating family members. So a family with a special needs child, educating their family members, whether they're elderly parents or grandparents, to make sure that the beneficiary designation is not the special needs child, but the special needs child, special needs trust is really the key to cutting off a situation in advance. And it's a simple educating of family members, and all of those beneficiary designations can be changed at any time with just a one or a two page, relatively simple legal document.
Right. And you have trustees on these too, correct? And if so, what are their responsibilities?
Absolutely. A trustee is generally not the same individual as the child's guardian. And the trustee can be a family member with financial knowledge. It can be a professional, or in many cases, it can be a third-party administrative trust. Many elderly parents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who have been managing as both the guardian and the trustee of their special needs child's assets, their life, their guardianship, at some point might say, you know what, Earl, I'm getting too old for this. So they can seek the guidance of a third-party administrative trust. And that trustee will, number one, have a trustee team to manage all of the assets, or a portfolio team to manage the assets. They will have a team of people which will act as trustees, which will handle all of the administration of the monies, whether it's paying rent or a monthly cable bill. The filing of the annual tax return of the special needs trust, as well as if there were any legal issues that needed to be addressed, then the hiring of a legal team could be brought in, and that third-party administrative trust could choose the attorney and handle all of those needs as well. So for some of those elderly families, 60s, 70s, 80s, they can choose a third-party administrative trust to do that. And many banks, brokerage firms take care of those trust and administrative trust of duties as well.
I was reading some of your information, and it mentioned the letter of intent. Why would someone write a letter of intent, and what would you put in it?
Well, the letter of an intent is an important part of the planning for a special needs child. And that letter of intent can be, and even though a letter of intent is not a legal document, Larry, a letter of intent should be a journal that is kept by a family, which really talks about their special needs child's life, what they like. And I use this example all the time. A letter of intent may say, you know what? Johnny can eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but don't serve him crunchy because he won't eat it. So that sort of thing could be put into a letter of intent. You know what? Johnny loves to swim, but he will not go into a lake or the ocean, but he loves swimming in pools. So different aspects like that, different specifics about your child's life should all be put into a letter of intent, along with specifics, medications, all sorts of medical information, primary care physician, psychiatrist information, all the particulars about your child should be put into this letter of intent, or what I like to call a journal of intent, so that if anything ever happened to mom and dad, the caregivers who will be thrust upon this new responsibility can familiarize themselves, so it really shortens the learning curve for future caregivers. Also, I like to recommend a video or a DVD of the child and the adult child, and the adult child's life can be used to familiarize future caregivers.
I would think, because I know over the last 20 years that my son has been with mental health issues, his medication's changed more times than I care to count. So if you write a letter of intent, how often would you suggest updating it? Because medications change, status changes, people change. You suggest annually, every 6 months, every 5 years? What is your...
You know what? This journal should be updated regularly, you know, sometimes every week, every month, but as your child's, and I use the term child, can mean an infant child or an adult child, as your child's life changes, so should that journal. Mm. Great question.
Yeah, because like I said, you know, with my son, his medication, God, I can't count all the medications he's on. You know, it didn't work, and they change it, and they mix it with this one, with that one, and you know, it's just like, I mean, you know, I got to keep it on in my wallet because I don't know all the medications he's on, and I have to keep it with me because I don't remember all the medications I'm on. You know, so, but now you suggest reviewing documents annually. How do people do that? Do they sit down with somebody to review them, or do they look at them and change them, or what?
Well, families should be sitting down with their financial planner on a semi-annual and absolutely on an annual review. And sometimes my semi-annual reviews consist of just a phone call. Mr. and Mrs. Client, how is everything going? What has changed? Nothing's changed. We're on the same game plan. We're following the strategy. Great. So a semi-annual review can sometimes just be a phone call or a conference call. When major life changes occur, absolutely, families should get back with their financial advisor, with their financial team. The financial advisor will recommend when a family needs to consult with their legal professionals, whether they need an updating of their wills, whether they need to start seeking guardianship between the 17th and the 18th birthday, when a family may need to change their special needs or update their special needs trust. So a competent financial advisor will be able to advise families of when they should be in touch with their legal representative representatives as well. And then the other members of a family team, their social worker, will change over the years while that child is in school. They will eventually receive a case manager from the Division of Developmental Disabilities, DDD, so that case manager will become will have a more important role than that social worker after a child leaves the entitlement or the school system. And so as their team changes and members of the team of the family, maybe a sibling that is one of the key members of this family team, will be relocated to another state in the union. So at that time, a replacement for that family team member will have to be made. So the team is a living, breathing being. The special needs trust is a living, breathing document. The journal of intent, again, is a living, breathing document that changes and grows and gets trimmed over time. So these are all things that change on a regular basis.
Right. I'm going to backtrack a minute, okay? How does families who are doing all this stuff consider the cost of the care? I mean, how do they come up with numbers for the cost of the care, regardless of whether it's a child or an adult or whatever?
Well, that is one of the big unforeseens that with every case. And when I use the term case, a case is a family. It's Mr. and Mrs. Client with their two typical children and their special needs child. And those unforeseens change constantly, as with government benefits. We don't know how the future will impact the financial and medical benefits that our child with a mental illness or a disability may be receiving. Government benefits are constantly changing. Tax laws are constantly changing. Abilities of a adult or child are constantly changing. You mentioned medications. Medications go through a trial and error period. And Larry, you know from your son, and I know from my son Ben, when we can get our child on that perfect cocktail where our child is really, they can exist in society today as a useful part of society, that's when parents were just in heaven, right, Larry?
That's right.
And so medications change. The way the medications work in our child's and adult child's body is going to continue to change. So that cocktail's going to have to keep changing. So this is inevitably a changing situation, and that's why we have to continually meet with our family team, financial team, legal team, to make sure that we are right at the forefront every single month and every single year. But one of your questions I want to touch upon a little bit more. Our financial planning software package has an inflationary tool built into it. So I know that a family that spends $5,000 a month for their mortgage, their car loan, their costs of living, food, everything included, I know in 10 years that $5,000 is going to be $8,000. And I know in 10 years that $5,000 is going to be $10,000. So I can, within a margin of error, calculate the future costs of living for families. And that's the way I calculate a retirement lifestyle. But that's also the way I calculate the future living costs of a special needs child. Now, again, we have to add a couple of percent for a margin for error in that always. But the inflationary aspects of our financial planning software package really helps us design a cost of living in the future from today's costs of living.
In the last 2 minutes that we have, time went fast. Would you like to give some information of how it would be best to get a hold of you or your organization if someone would like to investigate a little further?
Tracy and Larry, for all of your audience listening today, I would like to offer a no cost, no obligation sit down with Earl Peterson to discuss your specific family's needs and how I may be able to help you moving forward in the future. If any of your listeners would like a boilerplate version of our letter of intent, I can email that to your listeners. And the way to get in touch with Earl Peterson is to reach me at my firm, Allied Wealth Partners, and our special needs division. My direct line is 973-265-1317. You can Google Allied Wealth Partners. Reach out to me. I can be reached via email. That is Earl Peterson, E. Peterson, P-E-D-E-R-S-E-N, at AlliedWealthPartners.com. And for all your listeners today, Larry, I will sit down for a no-cost, no-obligation financial planning session to see if I can help your audience reach the financial dreams and goals that they have for their families and their mentally challenged, special needs, or incapacitated children.
Well, thank you very much, Earl. I can't tell you how what a privilege it has to have you here today. Time flies, actually. And, you know, I thank you very much for all the information you've given us. We'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Thank you, Earl. Thanks for coming.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our